Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome to Just Believe Radio on the Right Stream Network. I am your host, Lisa Tarvis. I am a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive counselor, and author of the book, Just Believe, and of course, a radio show host for Just Believe Radio, and also Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, which airs every Friday evening at 7 p.m. I just wanted to welcome everyone to the show tonight, and we have a great show tonight. We do a lot of different things on Just Believe. We cover all kinds of holistic topics, spiritual topics, paranormal topics, lots of different things that we do on our show on Just Believe. But we always have experts in some field. A lot of times they're authors, like tonight's guest is. I'm an author, and a lot of times they're not. So if you happen to be an expert in a field related to spirituality or metaphysics, if you're a psychic, if you do online on-air readings, our listeners are always loving the shows with the online or the live on-air readings. Please give me send me an email. My email address is lisa@lisatarvis.com. And that's LISATARVES.com. And I will definitely hook you up on the show. I'm booking actually not too far ahead. I think I'm at the end of March right now and maybe April. I'm not sure. But just booking a couple months ahead of time right now. Anyone that has any questions tonight and wants to talk to me, wants to talk to our guest, feel free to call in at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. You can dial that number and just listen to the show if you've got to run and you want to listen to the show in the car or whatever. You can do that by dialing that number. Or if you have a question or a comment, you can also just dial that number and then press 1, and I'll see you in my queue, and I'll get you on the air as soon as I can. So anyway, I don't want to waste a lot of time talking about a lot of different things because I want to get our guest on the show as soon as possible. But I do want to remind everyone to visit rightstreamradio.com. Rightstream Radio, Rightstream is our network that we have several shows on right now, and we're adding to furiously. And you can visit rightstreamradio.com and see all the different shows that we have to offer, including Just Believe, which is what you're listening to now, which is a spiritual show. We have Military Monday with John D. Gresham. We have Rightstream Tuesday with Daria Ann, and we have Family Power Hour on Wednesdays with Sheena Benjamin Wise and Dr. Billy Eisenberg. They're fantastic. They have a fantastic show. All of them do. Also, then on Fridays is Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, which is a show that I am part of. I'm a host on, as well as Daria Ann and Kristen Fetterman, who is my daughter, and we talk women's issues. So all great shows, and we have a tech show coming up here, hopefully by the end of the first quarter, that we're going to be introducing. So we're really, really growing quickly. If you're interested in sponsoring the network or advertising on the network or anything like that, please feel free to also email me at lisa@lisatarvis.com. Also visit my website, which is lisatarvis.com. Everything's lisatarvis.com. Email, everything, Lisa Tarvis. So, you know, you'll find links on my website too. Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all those fun social media sites. where you can keep up with what's going on in my crazy, crazy life. So anyway, I want to introduce our guest for this evening. Her name is Carol Shimp, and I want to read her bio real quick. And just she wrote a beautiful book called Love from the Other Side, and I want to just read her bio and then bring her on because I have lots of questions for her about her book. In her compelling memoir, Love from the Other Side, author Carol Shimp tells the fascinating story of her quest to balance her daily life with her strong experiences of the spirit world. Growing up Catholic in the 1950s, Carol went to church, learned self-discipline, and participated in traditional religion. But even as a child, she experienced precognitive dreams and messages which she could not discuss with anyone. The death of her mother inspired Carol to learn more about her gifts and to find a small group of spiritual seekers. But Carol could not have imagined the journey she would take when the earthbound spirit of someone from her past became a very real presence in her life and in her marriage. Calling on her spirit guides and her support system, Carol navigated dangerous territory seeking to free herself, her husband, and the unquiet soul who resisted going into the light. Carol, by the way, I'm going to bring her on right now, but Carol has her book available on Amazon.com. And again, it's called Love from the Other Side. And she can be found on Twitter and Facebook as well. So, Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited. This book sounds so interesting. And again, it's one of the things that we were just talking about on Friday night, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, is we interviewed so many authors, and all of us are behind on the books. Like, we all want to read the books that were, you know, people were interviewing, but by the time we get around to reading them, the interview is already over because it's just, there's just so many books to read. My iPad is exploding with books, but I wanted to ask you, first of all, about your title of your book. How did you choose the title, Love from the Other Side?
Well, it just came to me when I was in my writer's circle critiquing manuscripts. And it is about love, because the earthbound spirit was from my past, and he came back. He wanted to pick up where we left off. We had a violent breakup my senior year in high school. I was engaged to marry him, and we had a violent breakup, and he got drunk and totaled his car, and we just after he passed away, his spirit came to me wanting to pick up where we left off, and he wanted to forgiveness. And in fact, in my one dream, he handed me a red rose. He showed me the accident in my mind, and then he handed me a red rose. He materialized several times while he was in my life. And, of course, even through the death of my husband, the spirit was there, who I named Danny. I, of course, wanted to protect the privacy of his family, so I right. changed the names in my book. But it's a true story, and I have testimonials, and I had seeked out different readers and psychics and healers for help, looking for answers. Because part of my book is looking for answers.
So tell me about the book. What is the story behind the book?
The story is my psychic experiences and the earthbound spirit who came into my life. He came in, he died in 1983, and I was at the Thunderbird flea market with my daughter. We were shopping on Mother's Day, and he was standing behind a booth, and he actually looked alive to me. He had materialized to the point where I thought, what is he? Because I recognized him immediately, and I had this surge of energy go through my root chakra, up through my chakras in my body and out the top of my head. And I just felt wonderful. Whatever charge I had at that moment, I was walking on cloud nine. I mean, I felt really wonderful. And, of course, my daughter didn't know what happened. She didn't see anything, and she didn't know about Danny. So we just kept shopping, but the whole day I was thinking about, you know, what is he doing here? What happened? What is this? Because he looked so alive. Well, then when I got home the next day, I was getting zapped over the telephone. He was in my house. He was in my bed. You want to talk about sex the spirit? Excuse me. It's energy. You know, there's no mortal feeling. It's all spirit can only share energy.
Right.
But, he was certainly trying. And I had was trying to send him to the light so I could have peace with my husband and my family, because he was just causing all kinds of energy and turmoil and things that were happening.
So this was your, so this was a guy you were engaged to?
In high school, yes. My senior year.
And he passed away.
And so many girls were getting married their senior year. But, of course, after our breakup, I wanted to get on with my life. I didn't want to be tied down. So I left for New York. I went to airline stewardess school, private school in New York, and I lived in Manhattan for like 2 years, and I had moved to Queens after a year, and of course then I went back home where I met my husband, and we got married, and I had a wonderful life for 36 years until the spirit showed up and caused problems.
So what did, I mean, was he purposely trying to cause you problems, do you think? I mean, what was he looking for? Oops, hold on 1 second. Okay. What was he looking for?
He was looking for control. He wanted to pick up where we left off. He wanted to, he says, I want to marry you. I was communicating with him with automatic handwriting because I needed to know what was going on, why he was there, what he wanted. And so I asked him, why are you here? And he wrote, of course, through me, you owe me a lot of years and I want all of them. And I'm like, oh boy. I couldn't give him any years because I'd been married. You know, I was happy. He got married. I got married. We went on with our lives. But then after he died, he had this emotional attachment to me, and his spirit came back and wanted a connection.
Had you before this experience with the ex-fiancé, had you ever had spirit connections before?
Oh, yeah. I was 6 years old in the late 40s, and I was in my neighbor's house. I went over there to watch Howdy Doody because we didn't have a television at the time, you know. So I'd go over there, and they were an elderly couple, and their boys were in the service. And I walked out in the dining room, and there was a stairway there, and Teddy was standing there, and I just said, hi, Teddy, how are you? Well, immediately, Mrs. Shaw started crying and got hysterical and got all upset. And my mother came over and rushed me out of the house, and she didn't, and I didn't know what was going on. Well, then I found out Teddy had died in the service. But he was standing there just like he was alive, and this is when I was 6 years old. But I've had many experiences. When my aunt died, there was a stigmata in her home. She passed away in a nursing home, but her daughter lived in the house with her. And so on the morning she passed away, her daughter got up, walked in the living room, and under each plaque of Jesus and Mary were three stripes of blood running down the wall. I can't say it was blood, but it was a red sticky substance.
Right.
And my mother and I were there, and we touched the blood, and the plaques were given to the church, but nothing was ever done with them because there's so many people having stigmatas nowadays, they just can't keep up with everything. But and then I had another aunt that passed away when my husband and I were out on New Year's Eve, and it was snowing, and we pulled the car in the garage, and it was the snow had made a perfect cross on the roof of our car. Absolutely perfect. And the edges were tapered and everything. And when I looked at it, it looked like an open grave. And then I found out the next morning that my aunt passed away. Of course, we had big families back then, so I had several aunts and cousins that we all grew up with. But yeah, things, all my life I've had dreams and precognitions. I dreamt about 9/11 before it happened. I didn't know what was going to happen, but when I had the vision, and I seen the TV with the news, I knew that I made the connection. Because, you know, we don't always get all the information when we have visions and messages. It comes in parts and pieces.
Right, right. I mean, I've had a couple precognitive dreams myself. I mean, a few. Not often, but definitely often enough. And they are kind of, they can be very, very specific, but you still wake up thinking, is that just some sort of fear I have, something that I'm, you know, worried about subconsciously or something, you know, and then when it happens, it almost happens exactly like you saw it in your dream. It's pretty freaky. I mean, it can definitely scare you a little bit to realize that you kind of saw this happening before it actually occurred. And
that's true. And, you know, I try to rationalize and solve the puzzle. And of course I'm always wrong, because what spirit showed me is not what my ego is telling me.
Right.
So to speak.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I do know. I know. I mean, your ego gets in the way of, I think, you know, I always think the messages, it's not spirit that's communicating information wrong. It's how we're interpreting what they're communicating, because of the fact that ego gets involved, and we're not really, we think too much. I think people think too much. I think we overthink it and try to rationalize it, and it's not, and that's what kind of screws us up sometimes.
That's true.
Yeah. So tell me why, what made you decide to write this book? I mean, did you write this book about just that experience with that one spirit, or did you write the experience about, because I want to know more about this one spirit and how you dealt with the fact that this was somebody who was like feeling like you owed him something, so he decided to, you know, to harass you. But what I'm wondering is, was the book about just all your experiences throughout life with spirits, or mostly about this one story?
I have some of my other experiences as I was growing up. And I write about my life with my husband and our marriage, in our wedding. And I kind of go back and forth with, you know, the spirit. I was having memories of spirit, and then I have memories of my husband. And I try to find peace with what was going on. And I had to write the book because it was a healing for me.
Right.
It saved my sanity, because what I was going through, I just had to document it and do something with it.
Yeah, and I mean, this was what your husband passed away as well.
Yes, of course I write in the book how spirit had walked into my husband, and the night before he died, I was doing dishes in the kitchen, and my husband came up to me and put his arms around me, and he says, "You have no guilt. What I've done to myself." And then he says, "I'm going to the store for a pack of cigarettes." Well, he left the house, and that was the last time I ever saw him. He was hit by a truck on the highway and killed.
Oh,
and,
God.
Of course, before that, spirit had been walking into him, and we had different issues and things that were happening, but my husband didn't want to believe. He says, "I don't believe in that stuff." And he didn't realize what had happened to him. And men are so stubborn. You know, I'm sorry. But most of them, not all of them, but most of them are very stubborn when it comes to spiritual energy.
I agree. Well, some are very open to it, but I know what you're saying. It's interesting how women are more apt to pay attention to something that happens than men are. So I agree. What did you have experiences then after your husband died? Were you able to communicate with him as well?
Yes, he came to me in the light. The morning after he passed away, his spirit came to me. And, of course, we had a German shepherd. She just loved him. And when his spirit came in the room, she gave this high-pitched, sorrowful sound, so sorrowful. And she kept that up until he left. But his spirit was with me. And when he started to leave, I said more, because we always said, I love you more to each other. And when his spirit started to leave, I said more, and he stayed for another minute, and then he left. But he does come back and check on me. And my dog used to let me know when he was here, because she would always give that cry of hers.
Right.
Because they used to sit and watch TV together, you know.
Right. Right, that's got to be so hard to have that experience. I mean, do you ever feel like the experiences that you had with your husband, like coming to visit you, do you think that it kept you from moving on at all?
No, I'm pretty open-minded, and I've dealt with spirits all my life, and I had to go on. I had nowhere to go. So, I got a job. In fact, the day after he died, I was called to work. And I started working. I needed the money, and I had to find an apartment because I couldn't keep the house. And a year after I had been working, I met somebody who I'm with now. We've been together for like 15 years, and he's been really wonderful to me. And I actually at times see my husband in him when I look in his eyes.
Oh, really?
So there was a connection there, and there was a healing for me. And life has been good so far.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, there's so many things like about all your experience that I want to talk to you about, but I want to get back to the spirit Danny, who was your ex-fiance in high school. Tell the listeners and me too about Danny. What did he come through when he came to visit you? Was he like angry with you? I mean, obviously he came to you thinking you owed him something. Did he ever explain that? What was the story behind Danny?
He wasn't really angry. He never hurt me, but he wanted control. He said, I want to marry you. You owe me a lot of years, and I want all of them. And he would show me visions when I was sleeping of times when we were dating. And he never really hurt me. He teased me a lot, and he was in the house. But I just, he didn't want to leave. He doesn't want to leave the earthbound. He likes it here. And he does not want to leave. Like,
is he still
so many spirits?
Around?
Yeah, he is around. Not like he was. I mean, it's a lot more subtle. But he likes the earth plane. He likes teasing people. He likes causing trouble. He likes. He just doesn't want to move on.
Wow. Wow. So what was your relationship like with him in when you were in school, and I understand you broke up. You didn't marry him. He married someone else. You married someone else. Did he ever explain why? I mean, what was his thinking? You owed me a lot of years. What was that about?
Well, when I left, or when we broke up, I left him, and he wanted to get back together, and we never did. So he finally decided to go ahead and get marry somebody else. But I had met him in high school. I went to high school with his sister, and she told me that she had her brother was in the service. And of course, I said, "Well, I'll write to him. What's his address?" And that's how it all started. And he came on home on leave, and we started dating. And one thing led to another, and of course, then we had to blow up. But I was very close with his sister and in the family. And I knew them very well.
Right. And so when you, I mean, what was Danny's feeling like when he came to you? What made him feel that you owed him those years? I mean, just because, was he angry about it? Was he, I mean, I'm just trying to understand, I guess, what his feelings were, why he chose to come back to you like this. Obviously, one of the reasons would be because you could see him, because you could communicate with him, which would obviously be a plus for him to want to reconnect with you. But was it an angry you owe me? I mean, what was that about?
Yes, it was a type of revenge thing, but he still wanted control, and he wanted to get back together. And it was like his way, you know.
Did he realize everything he had died? Was he aware of that?
Yes, he had to be because, he died in 1983, but this all really started happening in 1996. So he had to know he had passed away after all that time. And I had different readers give me messages from him that, yes, he knew he was on the other side. And he knew he could materialize. He did it several times in situations where he wanted me to know that he was there.
Right. So writing the story, writing what happened in your, with Danny and not to mention just Danny, but all the different experiences you had with spirits that you were able to communicate with, writing the book, was that cathartic for you? Was that something that healed you? Is that why you did it? Why did you decide to write it?
Like I said, I had to write it to keep my sanity because, my God, the stuff that was going on, how many people go through this? I'm thinking, who's going to believe it, you know? And I just had to document it. And then after, you know, and going to writers' groups and stuff, I published it because I wanted it to be finished. And
what do you
it
mean
was
by
a great healing for me. It just gave, I got rid of so many emotions and tears. Oh, my God, certain chapters, all I did was cry. You know, the tears just roll.
So that was a big part of it for you, was just getting it out there, saying it happened and telling the story. Was your family aware of your gifts? Your psychic gift?
Yes, they were. They knew, especially my sister is into it. My one sister, I have two sisters, but the one was more involved with me and my life than the other one. She knew everything that happened, and she had experiences herself, so.
Right, and so how did they handle your writing the book? How did they read the book? Did they, were they happy that you wrote your story, or were they more wondering, were they embarrassed by it at all? You know, sometimes people like to keep this family stuff in the family, and when you put it out there to the world, some people can have problems with it. And even when you change the names and everything, you are who you are, and you know, and there's that relationship. Did anybody have a problem with that?
I had no complaints about the book. My cousins, my aunts, and everybody read it. There were a few issues where I didn't verify some of my information with family members, but nobody really complained. They all liked it. And they all knew Danny when I was dating him. My family knew him, just like I knew his family. So they knew pretty much what happened and what was going on, but they didn't know about the spirit issues. And they understand. I mean, you know, it's my family's. My mother was from the old country and or Poland. We're Polish. both my parents were Polish, and they brought a lot of superstitions and stuff from the old country, and we've always had spiritual experiences, so the family wasn't really embarrassed or anything.
I guess that makes it a lot easier to, you know, put a story out there like that. How about friends? How did your friends handle it?
Some of them didn't believe it, or some of them aren't interested in that type of thing. But the ones that read it, I've got good reviews, and they all seem to enjoy it.
Oh, that's great. That's good. That's good. I mean, it's great to have only positive experiences from your family, because sometimes as authors, you know, there's a little bit of kickback about or, you know, a little bit of pushback, I guess, more would be a better word, from people that, you know, because they know that you're associated with them, and, you know, and it can be a problem. So when you were communicating with Danny, and when you were communicating with the other spirits that you have communicated with throughout your lifetime, what is the method of communication? You said that you could see them, correct? I mean, you could actually visually see them?
Yes, and I used automatic handwriting, and it's also thoughts that I received in dreams and feelings.
Okay, tell everybody, people that don't know about automatic writing, can you explain automatic writing to the listeners and how that works? And you know, because it's an interesting psychic ability, I think, and I think it's actually pretty easily accessible to most people. I don't think it's like a far out there, really hard one to master. But can you just explain it to people?
Well, it's a way to open the door. You have a feeling, and you feel a spirit, and you want to talk to them, or you want to tell them something. You light a candle and put a tablet, legal pad in front of you, and hold your pen, and you can ask, you know, are you with me, and please come with light. And a spirit has, through automatic handwriting, spirit has informed me that we all love you on this side and the other, and that love is the key. And when it comes to spirit communication or anything, love is the healing, and we're all looking for love on this side and the other. So the writing has to come with light and with good feelings. You don't want anything negative.
You hold the pen, and what happens? You get into a meditative state and just start writing?
Yes. And sometimes the thoughts come into your head, and you write thoughts down, because that's part of it.
So it could be a thought, and you're writing the thought. So it's not necessarily magical handwriting. It can just be the thoughts that are coming to your head, and you're just writing them as they're coming in.
That's true. And, you know, I like my automatic handwriting, because I could go back and read the messages several days or months later, especially when I was referring information and material for my book. I could go back and look at those pages and say, wow, did I really write that?
Right. What are some of the, you know, just out of curiosity, what are some of the most touching or, I guess, spiritual messages that you've received from the other side? What's the most comforting? I don't know. Maybe comforting, you know, that you can share with people that will give them hope, give them, you know, the people that maybe don't believe in an afterlife or don't believe, aren't sure, are on the fence. Are there messages you've received about any of that could help other people?
Well, I get messages that we are here to help you. We are always with you. We all love you in the spirit world and on the earth plane. And it's always, we're here to help you, and you will be all right. And you know, and those that don't believe, you know, either they believe or they don't. You can't really change somebody's mind that doesn't believe. They have to have some sort of experience to trigger that belief.
And do you think people can ask for that experience? You know, somebody who's closed off to the idea of an afterlife, or, like I said, on the fence. And I think more people are open to it, but they need that, you know, that touch, feel, see kind of thing. You know, they need to experience it. Do you think that spirit will come to them if they ask for some sort of sign or message?
We always get our answers, but not when we expect them, and not right away. I can ask spirit a question, and I might get it a week later, in a way I don't expect. And I often talk to Archangel Michael.
Right.
And I was sitting in the living room in the lounge chair, and in the afternoon the sun comes through the front window, and I have a plaque of Michael above the door frame in the hallway. Well, the sun came through the window and went right to the plaque of Michael and lit it up. And I'm like, wow, that's some kind of message.
Right.
But people will receive messages, and they can ignore them. They won't accept it because of the way it happens. They're not going to hit you over the head and say, listen to me.
Right. They give their signs in their own way, and we have to be aware, and I think a big part of it is for people to not believe so much in coincidences. I think people are very, you know, they just chalk everything up to, like, when something first happens, they're like, whoa, that was weird, you know, that was crazy, where did that come from? And then they rationalize it over the next few minutes or hours or days or whatever, and they chalk it up to it just being a coincidence or whatever. And I think that's our, again, ego and our bodies just trying to squish, you know, the spiritual experience that we actually had.
Well, it's also our mind and our training that we've had growing up, and the media and how they discount spiritual energy and all the negative things they say about it. And people are afraid. They don't want to be thought of as weird, you know?
Right. So when you were married before, how long ago did your husband pass away?
In 1997.
Okay. So you were already having all these experiences, and you were already having the experience at that point with Danny. How did your husband handle that?
Well, he didn't want to believe it.
Okay.
He knew things were happening, but he just wouldn't accept it. And I mean, he let me do... he was never controlling or anything. I was always free to have my own mind and the things I wanted to do, but he just wasn't that willing to do it, to get involved into what I was into.
Right. So was that hard? Did that make it hard for you?
No, not really, because he was easygoing and we had a good life.
Right. Well, that, you know, I mean, that's good. I would think that, you know, that you would have, you know, that's something you would want to share so much with your spouse, and it had to have been, I don't know, I think it would have maybe made it easier for you if it were something that you were able to totally share with him. Did he have any idea that you had any desire to write a book about this?
He knew I was keeping a journal while he was alive the whole time. You know, I was typing and keeping a journal and making notes and messages. And it would have been nicer if we could have shared the information and feelings and thoughts. But, you know, he bowled a couple 300 games. He was into bowling and different things. And he just wasn't into my circle of spirit life.
So what is your intent, like, going forward? Do you plan to continue to write more books about the experiences you're still having, or maybe things that you didn't talk about in your first book? Do you want to write more, or was this pretty much what you wanted to do and you're done?
I have a couple books on the computer that I'm working on, and I have some experiences recently that are pretty emotional when I try to put it on paper. I'm kind of putting it aside until I can do it without getting so, you know, emotional.
Yeah, it's a you know, there's a lot that goes into writing a book. I mean, we all know that. I think even people who haven't written a book a lot of times realize that it's a lot of work. It isn't something. There's no computer program that does it for you. I mean, it's hard. And when you're writing a true life account of something that, you know, you've been through, that's extra hard. And especially when it's emotions that you've dealt with, and it is good for you in some ways. It is healing in so many ways, but it also takes so much energy to put it on paper, and that's just such a small part of the whole publishing a book kind of experience. You know, the whole publishing a book is, wow, I mean, it's just a lot of work. It's just a huge amount of work, and writing it, like I said, is also emotionally. I don't know if it's different. Have you ever considered, like, writing fiction?
You know, I tried a couple chapters of my book in fiction, but I wanted it to be reality. I wanted people to know that this happens. It happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to other people who probably don't talk about it or push it in the closet or under the bed or something, you know. But people have to know. Spirit told me, you know, your story has to be told. People have to know. And if they do know, then those that have had some of the experience, maybe this will help them. And those that haven't, if they would come across it, that maybe they would know how to deal with it or how to accept it as just an experience, a lesson, and part of life.
Yeah,
that's so true. I'm sorry. I've learned so much through this. I have a discernment of energy. After going through all this, it made my, it's a lot stronger when I walk up to somebody. I can feel if they're negative or positive. It taught me so many lessons.
Yeah, it really is amazing, and it, you know, like I said, I have not had a chance to read the book yet. I do have it. Pretty sure I downloaded it on my iPad already, but it's definitely on my list. And it seems like it's just something that people can learn so much from. And, you know, some of the things, and I don't want to bring up memories for you that are really painful, but what are some of the stories that you do tell in the book that you think people can learn some lessons from?
Well, I talk about when my mother passed away and how her spirit came to me, and the perfume and the feelings. And the hardest part was my husband when he passed away. That was really hard. But, of course, I talk about the gentleman I'm with now who is more into spirit than what my husband was. He's very, very kind and helpful. And we get along great together. And it's like I say, sometimes when I look in his eyes, I see my husband.
So what do you think that's about? How do you think that you're seeing your husband in his eyes?
Well, spirits can walk into people. I talk a lot about how Danny walked into people to give me messages.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, people didn't even know what they were doing, and they would say something to me out of the blue, and I knew it was Danny talking to me. You know.
Can you explain how that whole works? The walking in, like, what exactly? Explain to people that would have no idea what that means. What that experience was like for you.
Well, you know the energy. I knew the energy. When somebody walked in front, I'm sorry?
It would be that you know each individual spirit's energy?
When they walk into somebody, yes.
Right. Okay.
In fact, I had when I was working as a cashier, a young guy walked up to me, and he laid a card on the counter. It said, "On your wedding day," and then he just walked away. Why would somebody pick up a greeting card out of the store, laid on my counter, on your wedding day, and just walk away? That was Danny using that person.
Wow. What did that message mean to you when you got that message?
Well, I knew, you know, why Danny was bugging me and following me and doing all the things he was doing. He never wanted to break up, and he wanted to control things.
Right. So is Danny going to be in your, you said you're writing your, you know, in the process of writing a couple of other books. Is he part of those books?
Yes. I'm trying to finish up with Danny, and I did have a serious exorcism, something that I didn't want, not like The Exorcist, but it happened at night when I was at home. And, of course, I had a priest and a shaman work in the etheric with me. I'm debating whether I want to go into that and put it in my book.
So you actually had an exorcism done for what reason?
To remove Danny.
Okay.
I had several because he refused to leave. He kept coming back.
And did you feel like it was evil? Because I guess if he were truly, you know, coming from a place of love and goodness, he would have respected your wish for him to go away. Is that why you felt like you needed to do that?
I don't say he was evil, but I will say he was a troubled spirit, and he was lost in a void. And he was looking for emotion and love and forgiveness, and he didn't know how to do it, so he was causing problems. There are a lot of spirits with unfinished business that are just in limbo, and they don't, you know, they're troubled, and they don't know how to, they haven't learned how to share love and healing.
So do you feel like he didn't cross over? Like, did he not cross over into the light, Danny, in your opinion?
Danny told me through writing that he went to the light, and he came back for me.
Hmm.
I also
Go ahead.
I also had a vision on Easter morning before all this happened where my spirit was taken to the light. And I was told he has the gift and you will be all right. He loves you.
Who's
and
he?
And then, of course, they were talking about Danny.
Oh, okay.
Because they knew that his spirit was coming down. That was part of, I wrote about it in my book about my how Spirit lifted me to the light, to the white light. And I had my vision on Easter morning, and then on Mother's Day is when everything started to happen. And, of course, my mother walked me through it. I talk about her a lot in the book, and her spirit was with me. She walked me through it, and she helped me.
Well, that's very, I mean, that's really helpful. So are you able to, you know, the people that have passed that you love, like your parents and things like that, have you been able to keep a dialogue, keep communication with them since they've passed?
When I have a problem or a message or when they want to reach me about something, but I don't do it on a daily basis.
And do they choose or do you choose? Do they choose to contact you or do you choose to contact them?
I can ask, but it is their choice.
Yeah, that's what I always find. You never really get to choose for sure. People ask me that all the time. Can you do medium work? Well, it's not really up to me. It's kind of up to them. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way it works. So what else do you want to share about your book? What else do you want people to know about your book? What do you think people can learn and get out of reading your book? I mean, there are so many spiritual books out there, and I like to give authors a chance to answer this question because I think it's an important question. There's so many books like this out there. What can they learn from yours, that would make them want to buy it?
Well, my book is not a how-to book. It's not technical science information. I try to walk the reader through my experience and through everything that happened to me. And as I do this, and I'm hoping that those who have had similar experiences can learn from it and maybe open some doors to people who just are looking for help and don't know how to get it.
Right. And looking for help and with situations they're having with spirits themselves. Is that what you mean by that?
Yes. Spirits are everywhere. They're not in one haunted house or one cemetery. You can find more spirits in the grocery store than you can anywhere.
Yeah, I always say that, like, the whole idea of spirits in a cemetery, I'm like, I got to tell you, when I pass away, I don't really think I'm going to hang out where my body lies. You know what I mean?
No.
I think I would go to where, like, you know, where my loved ones were or where I had good memories or something like that. I'm always surprised
right.
at people that, like, cemeteries are so haunted. I've never really believed that.
Well, spirits are looking for energy. They're looking for fun. They enjoy a good laugh just as much as anybody. They really don't like to hang out in cemeteries. You know, my sister's house is haunted. She gets upset with me when I talk about it. But she's a widow, and I'm a widow, and I went to stay with her up north in her home. And there's only the two of us in the house. And we watched TV. We had popcorn. We did whatever. And I got up, and I usually get up around 3 in the morning to go to the bathroom. Well, of course, there's just the two of us in the house, and she had a nightlight in the bathroom, so I didn't bother to turn the light on. But when I sat in the toilet, the seat was up. Now, neither one of us, you know,
obviously,
being women,
right.
left the seat up. And I just figured, well, Spirit had a good laugh that night, you know. Things happen.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a funny one. Yeah, I've had experiences like that myself too, where I walk into a bathroom and I'm like, wait a minute. Now I have lots family that I live with. I have my husband and I have an adult son and actually my brother-in-law that's staying with us right now. But when it's my bathroom, like off the master bedroom, and my husband's away because he's a pilot and he's gone a lot, I'm like, wait a minute. Why would the seat be up? You know, when you sit there, like, this doesn't make sense. It's one of the funny things about, you know, life, I guess. So tell everyone, I want to give you a chance before we end the show to tell everyone where they can find your book, where they can find out more about you, if you know what you're doing, whatever you want to say to talk about what you're up to.
Well, I was self-published with Outskirts Press. They have a bookstore where you can order the book from there. You can get order the book. It's on Nook at Barnes & Noble, or you can order the paperback from there, and it's on Amazon, Books a Million. And I'm on Google+, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. I don't have a website at the present moment. I canceled the one website I had, so.
All right, so everybody can
My email is asst12@bellsouth.net.
All right, so that's asst12@bellsouth.net. And
yes.
She is also, you can find her book on Amazon. And she, Carol, also has a Facebook page under Love from the Other Side, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay. And on Twitter, you can follow her at carolshimp.com, CarolShimp. And that's where you can find Carol on Twitter. So absolutely, you know, check it out. It looks like it's a beautiful cover, by the way, too. I love the cover of the book.
Thank you.
My
son-in-law did the artwork for the cover. And he passed away from cancer 2 years ago.
Oh, that's a shame. That's sad because, I mean, it's beautifully done, very beautifully done.
Thank you.
All right, so anything else you wanted to add before we wrap it up?
Well, I hope people enjoy my book. If they want to give me more testimonials on Amazon or on my Facebook page or anything, I would appreciate it, some feedback, and I hope they enjoy it.
Right, and that's actually really important for authors too, everyone, just so the listeners know, when someone, you know, the feedback that we get, the reviews that we get are really helpful and really help sell our book. So if you do read a book that you really enjoy, take a minute to leave some feedback because for me, when I'm buying a book, I always am looking to see what other people are saying about it first. And just because they didn't like it doesn't mean I'm not going to like it. But to know why they didn't like it, what it was about that they didn't like, I mean, even those reviews are a little bit helpful. So, I mean, it kind of hurts the author's feelings just a little bit. But once you're an author, you kind of get a thick skin. So it doesn't every little... Every little comment doesn't bother you. You're always looking for the 5-star happy review, you know, of, oh, my God, this was the best book I ever read. But obviously everybody's not going to feel that way, and that's what makes the world go around. We're all a little different. So, you know, everybody take some time to leave those reviews and check out Love from the Other Side by Carol Shimp. And, Carol, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate your taking the time to be a guest, and I hope you'll come back another time. Definitely keep me up to date when you're going to publish your next book so we can have another talk then.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Carol. Talk to you again.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, hon.
Bye. So that was our show, Just Believe, talking about Carol Shimp's book, Love from the Other Side. And I really, really enjoyed having her on, and the book, you know, I love books like this. I love books about people that have experiences, you know, with the other side, and it can be so traumatic, and it can be so healing, and so personal. So when somebody takes the time to write their story, I just think that's really special. So I really appreciate her taking the time to share that with us. So other than that, I want to thank everyone again very much for listening. And remember to visit my website at lisatarves.com. That's LISATARVES.com. You'll find links to where you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, plus where you can buy my book, Just Believe. And also, please take the time to check out RightStreamRadio.com and to like RightStream's Facebook page. We have Facebook under RightStream. We have a Twitter account under RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Take a few minutes to check out our website. I actually designed the website for RightStream Radio myself, and I'd love feedback on it. So anyone who can take the time to check out what we did, we have it arranged by what the RightStream Radio Network's about in general, and then we have it arranged by the people who, each of our hosts and each of, you know, a bio for each of our hosts and then each of the shows as well. And it gives you a lot of different information, and the network covers so many different topics. So I really love that about our network, is that we're trying to hit on everything. I've got the spirituality realm down here, and then John Gresham has the military side of things, and then Daria has, she interviews Daria Ann, she interviews authors from every genre, and fascinating books every week. And then our RightStream RightStream Tuesday is Daria Ann's show. Then on Wednesdays, Family Power Hour, those guys hit on all kinds of incredible stories that have to do with things affecting your children and your marriage and you know, everything. Just a family in any way imaginable. Then absolutely turn into Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on Fridays too, because we're having so much fun with this show. And I think we're going to have a couple shows coming up here where it's just going to be the three of us chit-chatting about a topic here having some kind of topic about, I don't know, I think we're going to hit on some pretty cool stuff coming up, but we have some great guests planned for that show as well. Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss is about women's issues, from anything from family and love and relationships and marriage and fashion and skincare and makeup and health and wellness and weight loss and, you know, all the different things that women are concerned with. So that show airs every Friday night at 7, and I co-host on that show with Daria Ann and with my daughter, Kristen Fetterman. Anyway, you can find out about all these shows on RightStreamRadio.com. You can find out more about me on LisaTarvis.com. And I want to thank everybody again very much for listening. And until next week, everybody have a safe and happy week. If you're anywhere here on the East Coast, hopefully we don't get nailed with another snowstorm this week, but we'll see how it goes. But everybody stay warm, and I'll talk to you in a week. Bye, everyone.